Do you ever struggle with your fuzzy brain? I do. Welcome to the Uncluttered Office Podcast. Here I share what I've learned from my struggles with chemo brain and executive functioning disorder. I'm your host, Katherine Avery. I'm a former Wall Streeter, now entrepreneur, with 20 years of experience in business and office design. I'm a badass cancer survivor and thriver, mom of a teen, a wife, and a lifelong learner. I've discovered that whether we lose our keys, misplace our files, or constantly forget important appointments, we can learn to be more productive. We can design a work and home life that is simpler, easier, and much more manageable. Listen in and learn how to create a plan to streamline your space and your systems so you can be more focused and organized. Hey everyone, I'm Katherine Avery of productivitybydesign.com and the Uncluttered Office Podcast. I'm super excited because today I have Patty Lennon with me. Patty Lennon is a keynote speaker and best-selling author that helps women create space for magic in their lives and businesses. Patty is a former type A corporate banker who opened to her intuitive gifts at 35. We're both former Wall Streeters, aren't we? When her father passed away in 2019, the events that followed revealed a deep connection between intuition and the amount of abundance, support, and love we are all willing to allow into our lives. She founded the Receiving School to help others open to their own receiving energy using a blend of common sense, brain science, and a dash of magic. So, hi, Patty, from your magical office. How are
Hello.
You? So, quite a while ago, let's start in your space. You asked me to help you with a few small updates for your office that would make it a little more personal and a little more energetically positive. I'd love to hear how you're finding your space is supporting you now at a time where not just us, but everyone is suddenly working from home offices.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, this has always been sort of like a sacred place for me, my office, and you helped me get it there. And probably like, you know, I think what you helped me with in the office is probably what all of us are going to need to tap into, not just space-wise, but like one of the tweaks that you helped me tap into is getting like pops of color. And it was so silly, but like to get a deep pink, that's my brand color that also makes me happy, file cabinet costs an extra $100 to get it in pink. And like, I spend like $100 on the dumbest shit, right? Like amorphous stuff for my business, like that's in the cloud, you know, all the time that if I think it'll help me. But before you came, probably spending an extra $100 on a file cabinet to have something that actually looks good and makes me happy is so significant. Same thing with the lamp has color, you know, like color was the biggest. I mean, there were things that we did that were structurally better, but for me, it was the color. And I think right now, everyone is going to have to tap into what are the small things that are significantly important,
right?
They are within your control. And make those shifts now. They can be energetic, they can be physical, they can be for your space. But really having the courage to do that for yourself is, I think, one of the things that we're all going to have to do.
Oh, I agree. And in fact, in my office, you know, my brand color is red. Now we've added teal, but there's red. And so everything in my office that's an office supply, thank you, Poppin, is all these little, no, I'm not a rep for Poppin, but I just love their stuff. So yeah. I have lots of little bright red splashes in here because my office is a pretty neutral color. So I used to be an interior designer. And when you're an interior designer, you're looking at color and you really want your room to be a neutral color when you're looking at colors because it reflects. So that's why my office is this sort of pale gray. And by the way, gray is the neutral, not necessarily white. And then you get all these shades of gray, which is a whole other story. We could spend all day talking about design, but we're really not here for that, are we? So we met, you know, we were trying to figure out when we first met. It's been so long ago. But I do remember when I first met you, you were a lot less woo and a lot less in touch with your spiritual gifts. They were sort of on the periphery, and it may have been that you just weren't sharing them as much. I'd love to talk about how you got from corporate financial whiz to business coach to now a receiving coach.
Yeah. So, I mean, my spiritual gifts were always when you met me, they were there and I wasn't sharing them publicly. And there's a reason that's, there was an emotional reason and a practical reason. So when I left corporate banking, I did it not because corporate banking was sucking my soul. I actually loved it. I just felt over the course of the last 3 years I was there, like I was calling deeper and deeper to mentor and put more time and energy into that, and had gotten a master's in psych to really understand how do people's minds work so I could mentor more efficiently, and also used it in my work, et cetera. And during that time, coaching became a thing.
Right.
At the same time that the banking industry started to fail. And I could feel that the money to allow me inside the bank to let me really do most of the work I wanted to do was drying up. And so I decided to go out on my own. And in working with Martha Beck, who I trained with for coaching, back then there weren't a lot of coaches. So we'd spent time alone with her, and we were out in a desert at a retreat. And that was where all this started to emerge. Mm-hmm. So it was a very sudden black and white existence. I was a type A corporate banker who was starting to really like focus on becoming like helping people understand they could achieve whatever they wanted in their careers. Like that was something that other people just didn't seem to get. But I was very still mentally focused on that. And then all of a sudden having this other side of me emerge. And so I think there was a part of me that was just like, you know, like when I would know things about other people, the cynical part of me would still be like, so I wasn't sharing it for that reason, but I was also not sharing it because everything I share today, I only share when I have proof that it works. Mm. Just feeling something and knowing something without having a consistent, provable metric history to it is not something I am built like. I still am very fundamental and I'm still very practical. So even today, when I'm in the midst of this isolation that we're in and I'm sharing with people, they have to go inward and find their answers. That's not something fluffy for me. This is like, I can show them what's going on around them and what the brain science to that is and what the capitalistic fundamentals are that are happening and why you don't want to be looking outside yourself from a pure economic stand. Like, you know, there's lots of reasons. So when I share, I like to share from a depth of hitting everyone, not just the woo intense people.
I was definitely came from a very corporate background, so I wasn't tremendously woo. I think I found more of my spiritual gifts probably over the course of the last decade, but they're not necessarily something I'm using outside of creating space and making sure that it's just like you said, sacred space. I don't ever look at an office as just a place where you're going to work yourself to death. That's not my thing. So I know that's not your thing either. And I know you created the 20-hour work week, which is one of my favorite things in the world. I'm really working my way towards getting to a 20-hour work week. And I've been fascinated in the last few days. You've been saying every time I talk to you, oh, I've got nothing but time on my hands. So I'd love to talk about how you view time. Because to me, right now, I feel like in many ways, I have less time than I used to. And it may be that I'm just adjusting to having everybody home. We're actually playing very nicely. Like there've been no arguments or anything terrible that's gone on. It's just the sense that I've got much more to do. And I'd love to talk to you about like your perception of time.
Well, I mean, I'm a pretty concrete thinker a lot of the time. So I think I still feel very concrete, a concrete relationship to time on a day-to-day basis. But the shift I've made over the last 10 years that ultimately caused me to create the 20-hour work week was, and which is the 20-hour work week is just the idea that you can work for 20 hours a week, which is what I do, or less or more. It's more just only work on what is your right tasks.
Right.
And so why I've had nothing but time is that each time I tap in, and this is where the inner guidance comes, and I scan the energy of my people, which is my audience, which is who I'm supposed to serve. Everyone's in chaos. And so there's very little that I can do right now until it all settles down. And what I saw was it was going to be settling down over the course of this week. And so I would ramp up and create more. But last week it was that everyone's spinning. My inner world is spinning. That's why I have nothing but time, because until that slows, anything you throw into the chaos is going to come back and hit you in the face.
Boy, you know, I get that because I'm getting ready to launch something myself, and I don't even know if we've even talked about it yet, but it's going to be a working from home group, and I've never done a group before. I have, but never for sort of a longer period of time, and I kept getting signs that it wasn't time to launch it yet. And so what I did instead was I put out a survey and said, could you answer some questions? How could I be of service to you? And I think that's really important. I think I'm, in a way, I'm receiving the gift of time to get it up and running, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, and I hearken back a long time ago to when I was sitting in one of your, I don't know, a conference doesn't sound really right, an event. And you, I was not long past my cancer journey, and you pulled me up to the front of the room. I can't remember exactly why. I guess we sent questions in or something. And what I remember so clearly was, here I was like pushing the boulder up the hill. I've got to get my business back up and running again. It's been too long. I've been out for over a year or whatever it was at that point. And you said, you need to take a month off. And I remember just thinking, are you flipping kidding me? I am not taking a month off. But I have to tell you, I did. And so when I came back, I was ready to really be in alignment with my business and my people and where I was going. And it was the best thing I could ever do. And it's a tremendous time. It's a tremendous gift. I think it's something we're all seeing right now, because we can't spend time with people the way we used to be able to. We're having to think of new ways to spend time together. So it's quite a gift.
Yeah. And I think the other gift of like what we're going through right now is we are able to now discern where we actually want to spend time, yet where the collective force of society pulled us. And that's part of what, you know, receiving, when I talk about it, is receive yourself first.
Right.
Receive what you want, receive what you need before you worry about what's happening out there. And most of us do it in the reverse, myself included, for most of my life. And so now, if you, you know, there's no networking happening, there's no kid events happening, there's no social events happening, there's no things where like, this feels uncomfortable where I am, and so I'm going to go work out at a coffee shop instead of figuring out how to make this comfortable or how to sit with this discomfort. And I think there is a huge gift in that, because our inner discernment is going to grow as a collective world right now, at least in this country, in the States where we are. I don't know, I haven't tapped into enough of my community outside of here to really hear what they're experiencing. I can feel that it's different, but we're the most, clearly the States are the most pursuit driven in a way that's like, you know, the compare and despair type of pursuit, I would say.
I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of the Joneses kind of mentality. Yeah. Keeping up with the Joneses. I was trying to remember the phrase.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's going to really shift. I am finding that people are doing networking online and virtually. In fact, even my Toastmasters group is meeting this week virtually. And I was supposed to be the Toastmaster for the first time ever. I was like, could someone else do that this time? Just because it's a ton of time to prepare for it. And I'm getting ready to launch something. Not so much that I couldn't hop on a video and be Toastmaster. Mm-hmm. I just want to do it really, really well. And I know that's not where I'm meant to be sharing my gifts at this very moment. So, and I think it's a lot of what I learned from receiving school with you, Patty, was recognizing when is the time we need to be taking care of ourselves and putting the oxygen mask on first. I mean, I've said that a couple times over this weekend as I've sent you things like, okay, this is what you need for this. This is what you need for that. Oh, by the way, I had to take a power walk with my husband. I'll be back. And that's because I'm really focused in, some from having had cancer and having had to do this kind of isolating thing before, and a lot since then from being in receiving school and learning how to receive it all, to take in all of it. So a perfect example of this was Saturday, I was doing the laundry. And I remember, and I don't even know what struck me. I can't even remember exactly what it was. But the night before, we had seen the news that New York City was really now the epicenter of all this. And I remember just being in her room and putting my head on the laundry to muffle the sobs that came out of nowhere. And I already kind of knew I needed to take some time off Saturday. I kept saying, oh, I'm going to do something this afternoon. I'm going to do it. That's when I knew. I was like, that's your breaking point. You're done. Just receiving how much this hurts, how much the world is hurting right now, and grieve it. Mm-hmm. And then we did something completely different. Instead of trying to continue, each of us pushing our own boulders up the hill, you know, I said to my daughter, no more homework. You know, my husband, no more of this. We're going to do something fun as a family and take the gift out of this time. Mm. I think that's probably the best way to say it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, one of the fundamentals of receiving school is you receive everything, which means you've got to receive the crap. You know, you've got to receive, you know, one of the tipping points for each individual in this, what we're in right now, is the moment that you accept that this is happening. Until you receive that this is happening, you're like this to your life. And that includes all the solutions, all the joy, all the magic that's ready for you is going to stay just outside this. And until you let in this feeling of whatever it is for you, for me, it was like shackles. Like I felt like I was being imprisoned. I am an extrovert, so I do get my energy from other people. And until I actually let that wash over me, and let it, because it'll move through you. The universe can move all of it through you. You know, we talk about this all the time, but your like whole purpose is to like hold out your hands to it and resist it. And you got to let it in and you got to sob. I mean, if someone isn't crying, hasn't cried at this point, I would really question if they've allowed it to really penetrate them.
Right. Because some people are being affected by this immediately. We were immediately affected by this on a both a personal level. I do have friends who have the virus right now and who are dealing with it. Luckily, thank you God, none of them in the hospital. I had free range parents. My dad was determined to keep living his life the way he was. Quote, he's had a full life, and I kept like, Mom, rein him in a little bit. You know, you guys are high risk. And luckily, Bob's folks are being great about that. You know, we can't see any of them. I immediately canceled a trip to go see them in Florida because I didn't want to take it to them. Not that I'm, to the best of my knowledge, I don't have any symptoms, so I assume I don't have it, but we really don't know. Right. There's just, I think that's what this really is about. There's so much we don't know. And I think that's where the fear comes from. And I think when I just said, all right, we're in a state of unknowing, it's okay. I stopped watching so much news. I stopped taking so much of it in. And I put these really firm boundaries in place where I said, I'm only going to receive the news, say, 30 minutes a day. And then I'm shutting it down. And I think by doing that, it helped me tremendously. And yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this too. I think Facebook's becoming a nicer place. It's like people are not being so quick to judge as maybe they were 2 weeks ago. And I think that's a result of the fact that people are really starting to recognize this is it. This is how we're going to communicate with one another. It's going to have to be either by a phone or by a Zoom meeting like we're doing, or on a webinar, a virtual networking meeting. It's going to be FaceTime with grandma and grandpa. Although I'm loving, I don't know if you've seen some of these where the kid goes to visit grandma and grandpa and then the other side of the door, and they made a little, it's not bingo. What is it with the X's and the O's? Tic-tac-toe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The little tic-tac-toe. I loved seeing that and seeing how people are getting super creative with how they spend time together. I think it's like a whole awakening for society. And maybe that's the gift in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that we're going through a huge awakening. And to your point, I think Facebook is getting nicer also because everyone is always doing the very best they can with what they have. And right. So when someone shows up negatively on Facebook, it's because they've got so much pain inside themselves and it gives them some satisfaction to share that pain. And yet suddenly now that's not giving them the satisfaction it once did. And so someone will only ever do something as long as it works. Right. And I think it's working for a lot fewer people, probably in part because the reason someone says something nasty is they just want to bring those of us who aren't at their vibe down to their vibe. And I think people who feel upset feel like the world matches their insides a little more than it ever did.
That's interesting. Can you say that again? Because I really want to make sure everyone hears it.
It's that, you know, if someone feels bad inside, they're going to pour that negativity, that pain is going to pour out, and it pours out in places like Facebook because it's really faceless. But the strategy that they're using unconsciously is they want other people to feel as bad as they do. But now so much is making so many people struggle that it's almost that their pain, they no longer feel alone in that pain. No longer need to work so hard to bring other people down when so many are struggling. Now the outside world looks like their insides.
Interesting. So let's talk about receiving school.
Yeah.
Let's just chat about what's great about it. How is it shifting? I was in the first version of it. I know everything's changing around us. So therefore, of course, you're going with the flow, which I love about you.
Yeah.
So what are the guides and everyone else telling us about this time, and how can people be supported in receiving school?
Yeah. So the first is to understand that I'm offering receiving school, having checked in and been told that I still should run it, because I would be perfectly happy doing something different if it was the most in-service way to use my gifts and talents. So receiving school as it was run the first time was, you know, it is curriculum driven, meaning it's run as a modulated course. So it doesn't look like someone channeled it, but I did in fact channel the majority of it. Basically was shown what to do, when to do, where to do it. And it pulls in the brain science and everything. So as it stood, which was first receive yourself, then receive the gifts, then receive, you know, intuitive guidance from yourself and then from your metaphysical friends, that trajectory is still staying as is.
Right.
But what's shifting is that people are going to have, the veil is much thinner than it was when we ran receiving school. And what that means is the thing that's a boundary between us and the other side, you know, us and our metaphysical friends, us and God, us and our higher self, is much thinner. So everyone has a lot more access to it. So what I was told is the guided meditations are going to be more, there's going to be more offered. I do them in the moment. So I never know what those are. Also, people's ability to truly set intentions for themselves that are me focused, which is a big learning curve in receiving school, that's going to be a lot easier. So that's going to be shifting. Also, the first round, we didn't workshop the content, meaning we would get the content, you would do it on, you know, with me through the training, and then we would get together and we would coach around it. Now we're going to add another piece to it where we'll be workshopping pieces of it that felt, depending on where someone was coming in their spiritual journey, some pieces were harder than others. And I think people just wanted more time to spend in it. So when I designed the program the first time, it was really so you could do it at minimum in 20 to 30 minutes a week.
Right.
And then there'd be opportunities to be playing with the material up to like 2 or 3 hours. And this still exists, but now the opportunities will probably be at more like 5 hours. So there'll just be a lot more opportunity to spend time together, because I do think people are going to want more community that is focused on attracting abundance in a way that's aligned, because that is a piece of the puzzle. And then also having the opportunity to play with this guidance that's coming in during a time when our world is completely shifting. So did that answer your question? I mean, you have context to what it looked like. It is literally the most magical program I've ever hosted. And I've created a shit ton of content. I am a natural. Back in corporate banking, I trained and I created training for people around the globe. And it's just how I'm built. So I've created a lot, and 20-hour work week is a great program, but this receiving school it's not something I take credit for, but I am so grateful that I was the one that got to birth it.
It's magical. That's just the bottom line. It really is. And there's some things in there that are really hard to do. Complaining detox. Hello. That was a hard thing to do. But I like how you coached around it, in that you would say, if you feel yourself start to go there, you know, you're allowed to have, what was it, like 30 seconds?
Your pity party. Have your pity
little
party.
Pity party. We could all have our little pity party and then move on. And, you know, I'm not complaining that I was sobbing into a pile of laundry. I'm not complaining about the laundry or the situation or how painful it was. It's more that I was just receiving in this overwhelming feeling of sadness for what's coming. And then it was okay. It was really I felt this incredible shift. Like, I had been crying all week, but this was a huge turning point. I saw some people last week who were ready to be just out there. Now, we had the whole range of it, from the icky sales to the, I'm your auto mechanic, and I'm going to tell you what we're doing around coronavirus. It's like, well, I brought my car in, I'm good to go. And that whole piece. And I'm not driving anywhere anyway, so I don't really need that email. I'm kind of making that situation up. Mm-hmm. But it was... And I was also admiring all the people last week who were out there doing things already. They were already helping people. They were already giving things away and being there for people. And I'm saying, how are you here? How can you even do this? Like, I was just sort of in a mourning phase, I guess is the best way to put it. And it's funny, because after Saturday, where I really just didn't do anything at all, Sunday, I was so ready to give. I was so ready to be out there for people while still taking a power walk and taking care of myself and doing those things. Like, it all almost been like the shift to a new normal.
Yeah.
And I think that's the power of receiving. And it might take for some people, it takes like 20 minutes or whatever. And then for some people, it takes multiple days. And that's really okay.
Yeah. And to me, because for me, going through receiving school was, you know, I was getting those downloads week by week, you know, what I was teaching and what order I was doing. And it's not that I haven't given private clients the complaining detox before, but I haven't done it consistently, you know, so I was doing everything along. So I was having the same growth trajectory as everyone else. And where I see it working right now, where we're in, is that when someone shows up and they're so angry and nasty at our community about a woman posted that she was angry that a family came and did their grocery shopping together. And I mean, she was livid and she was just pouring this anger out into Facebook. And then I look at the person who's sewing masks for healthcare, right? And then I look at my friends who are actually nurses, right? One who's, and I have a friend who is a respiratory specialist, like she's the ventilator, you know, she's going to be at the epicenter of all of the challenges that are coming. And I look at all these people showing up and I feel equal love for all of them. Right. And that was my big shift. Because my history is one of being one of a very judgmental person. Like, it comes with being type A, where you feel like control and perfectionism are your tools of trade. To be able to look across all people and feel equal love for them has been, to me, the most astounding gift.
Right.
And that comes with being able to receive each person because I've already fully received myself. And that sounds so crazy and weird. And like, I literally do not walk around in a muumuu. If you've never met me, I don't walk around holding my crystal ball. And like, I'm not built like that, but I mean it. Like, that's possible for every single one of us. And that to me is just blows my mind.
Yeah, I was noticing in a lot of situations where people were giving each other grief about that stuff, really freaking out. My example is a woman who posted at like 10 o'clock at night, where can I still buy groceries? And people jumped on her. Why are you still buying groceries? Blah, blah. And I said, maybe, and I wrote three different options and I can't remember what they were, but say, let's say it's this. Maybe her kid is sick and she needs some Gatorade to help them feel better. Maybe her senior neighbor is in a jam and needs something and she needs to go out, and whatever the other third option was. But you get the idea. I was in there saying, like, we don't know what her situation is. We have to give people some grace. That's the big word I've been using all week. It's like my theme word. Give people some grace.
And you can only do that if you've given yourself grace.
Well, you know what? I think you're right about that. And I think that's why it was a constant struggle for me last week, because in some moments I was very easy for me to do that and offer people grace. And in other moments I was like, I got to take care of me right now. Yeah. But we do have to fill ourselves up. We can empty out. And I would love to sort of wrap all this up with some of your great ideas around how you take care of yourself in a time where, like for both of us, we're used to working from home. No one's here. It's very quiet. We run in and out. We go and see our people. And, you know, now that's all shifted. Our kids are home. I don't know if your husband's working from home yet. Mine is. Yeah. So yes. Suddenly we're sharing space. And in our instance, just really fast, I'll interject. We asked our daughter, where do you want to do your schoolwork? My husband and I already had sort of work from home spaces. So we said to her, where do you want to do it? And she created her own space for academics, which is great. It makes her happy. It's what she wants. So how are you sort of doing this, Patty? How are you getting through each day? I mean, yes, you have an office where your door closes. Do you have like a big sign like I do? Mine says, shh, recording.
No, if the door is closed, I keep the door open most of the day, even when they're home, like on a snow day or something. So if the door is closed, they know that it's closed. Like, that's what that means.
Right. Me too.
I also think it's not fair for me to necessarily, I'm going to say what I think others can do, because the reality is I live in a very big home. So every single one of us has independent space with doors that close. And that's really, I think, a luxury that most people don't have.
Unquestionably.
So what I'm going to be doing, school only starts for us today. So I think the things that to me have helped outside of the space itself is what the constant reminders, first based on how I treat others in my house, and then to them, is we need to respect each other at a level we've never done before. And I'm owning my own thing first. And then also do one thing valuable to the household before you worry about needing something. So myself included. You know, and then today, starting today, is we stick to a very structured day for a few hours a day. So that structure. And then the final thing, and again, this is like such privilege, and it's ridiculous that I have this. It's not ridiculous, but I have this privilege and I'm abundantly aware of it, is that we have a cleaning person. And we have the ability to buy whatever food we want. And so having the kids understand the cleaning person is getting paid and you are doing their job. Right. I'm getting paid. And then they're taking over meals, you know, half the week. That was a lot of examples. And I'm not sure I answered your question. I just think every single one of us needs to treat it like the Wild West. And honor what's going to create sanity for you first. Like, worry about you first and then everyone else in your house.
Right. I found it fascinating. I think it's amazing how many people are having their kids cook. Our daughter started, she's a freshman in high school, and our daughter started school last week. And I have to tell you, a normal school day for her right now with homework and whatnot is really sort of like 8 or 9 a.m., depending on the day, until there have been nights she's still doing schoolwork at 8 o'clock at night. She has not had a lot of free time. She's had, she takes breaks, don't get me wrong, and I encourage that. I think that's very healthy. But I can tell you that during dinner time, she's not cooking. She's definitely still doing schoolwork. And so each family has to do what's best for them.
Yeah.
And as much as I would love for her to help cook, you know, she did help me a bit this weekend, and she does have her chores that she does on a daily basis. I'm not asking her to kind of do more yet, but I have made it abundantly clear that this is probably the week we no longer have a cleaning lady anymore either. And what a privilege that has been. It's going to be a big shift even for me, that we're each going to be responsible for cleaning our own space, and that I'm not doing it all by myself alone. I'm not. I'm not going to do it by myself. So, I mean, my husband is amazing. He does a ton. He's always been the grocery shopper. You know, he definitely is someone who cooks and helps in the kitchen and washes dishes. By no means would I ever say I don't have a husband and daughter who pitch in. Just different times, and we're all going to have to step up a little bit more, which is interesting. One last thought on that. When I switched my whole thinking, I hate doing laundry. I don't know if you knew this. It's like my pet peeve. I can't stand doing laundry. And when I started doing it in a mindful way, and this includes like ironing, and really taking that time to be inside myself, inside of how I'm feeling and my thoughts and whatever, and seeing that visual of something I've accomplished, you know, folding the laundry, ironing the laundry, having it done, like the done shirt, it made me hate it a little less. So I'm hoping that's going to apply to scrubbing bathrooms. We'll see.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I love it.
Good. So how can people find you, and how can they sign up for receiving school? And I will put these in the show notes too, so don't worry, anyone who's listening.
Absolutely. So receiving school, you can get at www.thereceivingschool.com. And then if you just want a taster, or you want like some steps to just start with, I have a guide that anyone can download. And if you go to www.pattylennon.com/receiving guide, you can download that for free. And when you check out of there, you'll be invited to any event that, you know, any virtual event we have going on. Like I said, I'm doing everything as it occurs to me to share what's needed. But on the thank you page of that guide, we're telling people what's going on.
Good. Excellent. And I think you're at pattylennon.com.
And I'm at pattylennon.com.
Super. Thanks so much for coming on, Patty. I can't tell you what a gift it has been for you to be here.
Thank you.
I always
for
love
having
seeing
me.
You.
Thank
You're
you.
You've been listening to the Uncluttered Office Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and www.productivitybydesign.com. I'm your host, Catherine Avery. If you like what you've heard, please share this episode with someone you think needs it. I would love for you to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your reviews make my heart sing and can help even more people find the gifts in their productivity challenges. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM. Women's voices amplified.